I went to Rwanda, and I've done all the work that I most care about at County related to women. So I'm thrilled to be on the panel with all of you. Our title is Rwandan Youth with HIV, the Impact of Mental Health on Adherence. And my colleagues and friends and collaborators are in the audience. So if you could just stand for a second. This is Jerry Donenberg, Erin next to her, and Mary Fabry. So thank you. Our work is supported by a grant from NICHD, but we have no other commercial financial relationships. So as background, youth with HIV in sub-Saharan Africa face multiple barriers to adhering to antiretroviral therapy, many of the issues that you actually just heard discussed: poverty, depression, gender-based violence, stigma, logistic issues of taking medications, adolescent development issues related to their behavior and thought processes. And in Rwanda, youth with HIV certainly have the added challenge of living in a post-conflict society following the genocide of 1994. We think that trained and supervised HIV-infected youth leaders can develop effective programs, both because they're role models, as well as because they understand how to actually share that information to others, and that this would very much improve adherence for younger youth with HIV. So we work with a project in Rwanda, which we call KIP, and it means in Rwanda, a bright future. This is a drawing that the youth made to symbolize what they think they need. And KIP, the Kigali Imbarahenza Project, is an evaluation of what we developed as an enhanced trauma-informed CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy intervention, in order to increase adherence for youth age 14 to 21. And we're able to evaluate basically a randomized controlled trial where we look at the intervention versus standard care in 350 youth with HIV and their caregivers at two clinical sites in Kigali. And the intervention, again, is conducted by trained, supervised youth who are 22 to 25, and they conduct the six sessions for the youth, and Rwandan supervised psychologists conduct the intervention for caregivers. The outcomes that we're looking for, we hope, are increased antiretroviral adherence, and to show that by improved and lower viral loads and higher CD4 count and self-report of adherence. And we think that the issues that are very important that impact adherence are what we've noted up till now in terms of focus groups and some other studies are issues of depressive symptoms, history of trauma, history of violence, and of course some barriers that we'll discuss. So the work goes on in two clinics. The first one that I'll tell you about, this is a picture of the CHUK, which is the public hospital in Kigali. And there's a clinic that youth that is attached to the institution, and they see over 2,500 patients with HIV. 300 of them are youth under 21. They have monthly support groups for the youth, funded probably, I think, by USAID or maybe Global Fund, and they have a youth peer leadership program that they've had for quite a while. So this is one of the sites that the study is conducted in. And the study, I think to its credit, is a combination effort with PIs from both Rwanda and the US. WEACT is the other clinic. WEACT for Hope is the other clinic that the project takes place in. This clinic was started in 2004, also provides care for about 2,500 people with HIV, started actually related to women who had been raped during the genocide and had no access to HIV medications, but now sees men and many, many youth. There's 400 youth under 21 that are in care, and we've had a pretty extensive peer parent program from which who helped build a pretty exciting weekly support group, and it's from this group that the youth leaders were picked. So the methods were that we wanted to look at 350 youth with HIV, and we basically enrolled 20 youth at each site in 9 waves over 3 years, and we're about two-thirds done right now. And each wave, we recruit the youth from our support groups, get informed consent, conduct a baseline assessment, computerized, that I'll show you some pictures of. We randomize the youth to either a 6-week, 2-hour HIV youth-led intervention, with 10 being in the intervention and 10 being in usual care. And then their caregivers are asked if they'd like to participate in 2 caregiver sessions that happen at like the 3rd and 6th week of the whole intervention. And the follow-up assessments are done at 6 months and 12 months. And then we also have a booster to sort of give a little added help for our intervention at 12 months. And then we assess again the kids at 18 months. So I don't have any follow-up data to show you, but even what we've learned just at baseline about what these kids' lives are like, I think is really important to share with you. The intervention was formulated by Mary Fabry after our work with women in Rwanda in terms of their needs and how a sort of psychoeducation CBT model seemed to be very effective. So what we have now is a 6-weekly structured 2-hour session, and the kids are either 14 to 17 grouped or 18 to 21. It takes place at the usual site that they're used to going to every either week or month. And the activities include, you know, everybody agreeing on the group rules, relaxation exercises, group discussions, activities, body movement work, brainstorming, and a little homework. And the content is about psychoeducation about HIV, coping strategies, safer sex practices. It addresses problem-solving skills, which we think is really very, very important. Connection in terms of CBT between thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. We emphasize gender-based violence in a session. Think a lot about medication logistics and try to have the kids come up with solutions and making healthy and helpful decisions while living with HIV. So the ACASI, we use a computerized assisted approach to the intervention, to the assessments, which is very wonderful, and the kids like using the computer, as do their caregivers, often who've never ever actually used a computer before. So the questions are right there. They're spoken to the youth or caregivers in Kinyarwanda, which is the language in Rwanda. They answer, and then the data is downloaded and cleaned and analyzed. So the assessments, we've looked at demographics, adherence to meds, mental health issues, abuse, coping strategies, resilience, some self-esteem, and issues of sexual behaviors and substance use. So these are the results that we have at baseline. So far, it's a little over two-thirds have been done, so there's 278 youth. The last column is the youth leaders, who I mentioned to you, right, were a little older and are the ones who are conducting the intervention. So you can look at the comparison, but I'm going to just concentrate on the youth participants for now. So they're sort of split between girls and boys and between the two sites. You see the age is what we said. A quarter of them have had both parents die and are orphans. Most are in school, an extremely, extremely poor group. You can see the older youth leaders, half of their parents have died. They are older, and many of their parents were part of the genocide as well as had HIV themselves. Adherence, there's room for improvement. The youth, two-thirds said that they had been pretty adherent in the last 30 days, but when we asked the question differently, did you do an excellent or very good job taking the medicines as you were supposed to? Only a third said yes. And have you missed no doses? A quarter said they were doing that well. And if you missed one day, another quarter said that they had. So we think that asking, these are questions that others have used that we sort of are interested in seeing how they work in Rwanda. Knowledge, as it, in every survey that's done, is pretty good. It's just that it doesn't actually always translate into doing the right thing. It's a pretty depressed group. in terms of, so the higher score indicates more symptoms of anxiety and depression. The younger youth are doing a little bit worse than the youth leaders. This is very sad that 17% tried to hurt or kill themselves in the past 6 months. And 12% had thought about killing themselves. And resilience and self-esteem, we hope to see changes in. So, and if anything does come up like this during the assessments, and immediately there's a referral, the machine alerts the research staff, and the participant is sent to a psychologist who evaluates the need for immediate or referral treatment. In terms of sexual abuse, only 47, like less than a fifth of the youth, this is age 14 to 21, the median age was 17, and Rwandan literature says that sexual debut is between 15 and 16 right now, so sort of. Reported physical abuse ever was over a quarter, and recently was about half of those. Childhood sexual abuse, less common. Forced sex, again less, but of course this is people who've had sex. And in the past 6 months, it was recent, and people are not feeling that secure. In terms of drug and alcohol use, it's small numbers, more for the youth leaders who are older, and to be expected in terms of sort of availability in the community of very poor young people in Rwanda. For the caregivers, so the caregivers are people who you have to actually give consent for the youth being part of the research program, because everybody was under 21, and most were. And their mean age was 45. Four-fifths were women, but a fifth were men, who were the major caregivers. Two-thirds of them had cared for the youth their whole lives. So obviously a good third were people who were extended family or other people in the community, and this is due to a common thing in Rwanda because of the genocide, as well as a lot of loss from both HIV and other illnesses. Almost a half work, many consider themselves single parents, everybody's very poor. Though 60% had primary education, 90% said they were literate, and a good half reported mental health or substance abuse problems. The caregiver knowledge in terms of we're concerned with whether the caregivers are sort of there for the kids to like encourage them to take their meds and to deal with being infected. And they basically said they did pretty well, that they were there for the youth. We're going to also look at whether the youth felt the same thing about their caregivers, but I don't really have that information for you today. So here's the issues of adherence and mental health issues. In terms of those that were more anxious or depressed, they were much more likely to miss at least one dose of medication. They were less likely to report doing a good job, and they were less likely to take meds the way they were supposed to. It's true in our country as well, when you look at almost any age group. And again, similarly, which has been found elsewhere, the more trauma symptoms that were reported, the less likely the kids were reported doing a good job taking their medicines. In terms of adherence to antiretroviral medicine, they're certainly related to a history of physical abuse and childhood sexual abuse. Youth who reported physical violence were less likely to take the meds the way they were supposed to or do a good job. And youth reporting childhood sexual abuse were also less likely to report doing a good job. Adherence to was also related to resiliency and self-esteem. So greater resiliency, if you reported greater resiliency, you were less likely to miss a dose, more likely to say you did a good job, more likely to report that you were taking the meds the way you were supposed to. And greater self-esteem, similarly, you were less likely to miss a dose, more likely to do a good job, and more likely to report that you were taking the meds as you were supposed to. And then just finally, the combination of all those things, the greater resiliency and self-esteem seem to be related to kids being less anxious and depressed and having had fewer trauma symptoms, not surprising. Higher self-esteem, again, less trauma events reported and less likely to report any kind of physical, sexual abuse or rape. And the more anxious and depressed or trauma symptoms and reports of episodes, people were more likely, obviously, I think, to report physical abuse, sexual abuse, and rape. It's a society where there is a significant amount of post-conflict violence as well, and I think the kids were telling us, you know, the truth. So in conclusion, we find that the role of mental health and abuse and adherence to antiretroviral therapy among young people in Rwanda is very important. We feel, and sort of always felt this, that HIV care must attend to youth experiences of abuse, trauma, anxiety, and depression in order to improve adherence. And developing interventions to improve mental health and increase self-esteem and resiliency may improve adherence and mental well-being, and we think we have an intervention that will show that. Thanks.